Very nice, huh?
Beautiful.
The Magic Hands there of John England. That's John England. You can find all of his music and more information at johnengland.com. That's J-O-N England.com. And if everything worked exactly right, should be joining us on the program. And even well-dressed when we're not on social media, still well-dressed, and sitting in front of a new microphone, a double keyboard, and a drum set. What's going on there? Did you move a band into your house?
I'm afraid this is the way it always is, that there's not a room in the house that isn't covered with musical equipment and projects on the go and show building. And talk about sincerely dressed. For those of you listening in full color, I have to tell you that Dottie is standing there in a full-length midnight blue sequin-studded gown. Oh, no, sorry, that's Tom. she is really beautifully made up. This is like 1930s radio. And Tom is there looking very Clark Gable with an immaculate tux, a dicky white front. Yes. If he would just put some pants on now, it would make the picture
let
complete.
You know, folks. Why do you insist on being funnier than me every time you come on the program? You're one of my favorites. I am actually wearing a Yankees T-shirt and Dottie's wearing a Steelers shirt. Because we do radio now, and I mentioned this to John in an email. I do it because I hope when we resume cruising, I can do the show from the ship, and then it'll be quite unique to be able to have a show daily, Monday through Friday, and when I can sit around the pool with fellow entertainers or lecturers or codependents, people that are no longer in a 12-step program and want to sit at the bar with me. Let me first of all tell you that you sent me 6 or 7 CDs. I have them all loaded into my computers. Wonderful. That song is just wonderful. Which hand is better, the left or the right?
Yes.
Okay. Because I listened to it because they're both very busy hands.
Well, it's funny. I had a backhanded compliment when I was starting out recording. And my first reviewer, this was in the Stage and Television Today newspaper. It's like the British version of Variety.
Sure.
And I sent in my album, you know, expecting it to be number one within weeks.
Yes.
And I thought, well, the review would surely support this. And the takeaway I got from it was... John England never plays one note where 12 will do.
I see that. I absolutely see that.
And there was a single line that literally, it stuck in the dart is still between my rib cage as I read it. It said, he's very young.
Really?
Which I happen to be, but what he was meaning was he hasn't learned, as the greats do, what you leave out. And now I'm slightly more mature. And, you know, it's like those machine gun comics. And then there's the gentleman like you who just literally drop a Duke Ellington little plink right at the perfect moment. And the audience absolutely loses it because you've learned over the years what to leave out. And I'm afraid I'm still very proud of it, but you picked one of the early recordings where I, if there was a gap on the tape, I felt that it was an offense against
it's
the
excellent.
Listener. So I made sure that
it's
it was
excellent.
As full
and
as
I,
possible.
And I will tell you that I have to raise my chair. Nobody's looking, right? I can raise it. There you go. Don't buy things from Amazon.
Oh, now I can see the cummerbund.
Yeah, thank you very much. Again, he's funnier. A very good friend of ours and listener, Karen, loves Somewhere in Time, and that was on before, just before I went on at 10 o'clock. It was the last song that I played, and she sent a note to say how much she really enjoyed that. So that's
thank you.
It's
thank
also
you, Karen. Thank you, Tom and Dottie, for being such gracious hosts and having me on.
We love
again,
having you on.
We've had
You're
great fun, and it's great to be back here today.
Just like your time at the piano, there's never dead air when you're on the program. Never dead air. There's never dead air. And, you know, it's I don't know if the word's a shame, but you have the voice for a musical show where people would listen for the knowledge of the music, they'd listen for the voice and, you know, and all that good stuff. If you're going to go back to the We Are, we're going to go back to work and then this fun and games will be over and the wire transfers will start coming in. But a podcast, you know, for an hour to talk about whatever and I love the English accent anyway. So, but anyway.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
I'm actually in love with Dottie, so try as you may. It's not going to work, the flattery. But I thank you anyway.
Well, you know, to be in love with a cruise director or a comedian, you're better off with a cruise director. There might be work involved. that's what everybody seems to think anyway.
Well, it's funny you should mention, we're talking about when this is over, but I think it's gone on for so long that I suspect that you, like me, are thinking, well, certain things are going to be over, but we have learned a whole different way of being in certain ways.
Sure.
And
sure
this
have.
Virtual stuff, you know, you're on a Hawaiian island there. I can see the luau behind you.
That's right.
And I'm up here in the frozen tundra of Connecticut, and we're chatting like it's next door neighbors. Mm-hmm. And at one time we might have thought, wow, this is science fiction. But to be honest, it's pretty much every day now.
It is. And that's, again, to be redundant, is what I hope to do is bring this out there, because
exactly
the internet capabilities now are light years from what they were even 5 years ago, and they're putting even more satellites up with more bandwidth. I just read something yesterday to make it even better. You know, we've been around so long. Remember when we'd get a fax on board? There was never internet on board. Mm-hmm. We'd get a fax, we'd run off, get a phone card, and now 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I have my phone works through the internet on the ship. I can watch Netflix. I can watch Yankee games. It's just unbelievable. And I can broadcast. I don't know that I'll do the show live. I'll put it up in the cloud. You know, you put it up in the cloud. But everybody, every day, they can tune in at 10 a.m. And I'll have more to talk about than beating up on former presidents. I can talk about the bartender last night who forgot to put the rum in the drink. That's what I'll be talking about.
There was something
that,
on
that will get him fired if the cruise director finds out.
Yeah. She won't listen to the show.
There was something on Facebook about the Jetson and how accurate they were about the future.
Sure.
With the home office, online classes, telemedicine, and video calls.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought that how many years ago?
Yeah.
35, 40 years ago? The only thing we're not doing is flying our cars.
That's
in
coming.
The air.
It's coming, but you got to unplug it first. And you can fly it. So I wanted to have you on. Number one, let's talk about tomorrow night at 11 p.m., which I'm going to have to nap. You're doing a virtual show, and you can get tickets for that show, and they're very inexpensive. On your website, johnengland.com, am I correct? Or how do you do it?
I'll get you the information. It's not actually on my website because I've become a little more day-to-day internet friendly. It's on my Facebook page, which is under John England, the Velvet Piano Player. But I'll send the link to you, and perhaps you'd be gracious enough to put it up on the show.
Sure.
I mentioned the business of this progress with being able to do virtual engagements, and through a recommendation of a few friends of mine, I've actually got about 12 coming up in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Wow.
Of virtual performances for places all over the country doing this. Folks will gather in a concert hall or a place or a venue or a lounge, and they'll put up a big screen, and I'll basically appear as if it's on stage. And I've created this television set, different to the one that you can see today, that looks a little bit like the original Liberace television show. And of course, this has whetted my appetite for thinking. Also, when I'm back on the water, similarly, one has a staging facility, one has wireless internet or wired internet to be able to broadcast shows from a vessel where one is. And I have a feeling the lines are going to be thinking, if they're not already thinking, how can we broaden our reach? Viking Cruises, for instance, has their own television station now. They jumped on the virtual bandwagon, and people have been able to, who had booked a cruise but can't go on a cruise, can now go on and almost virtually have a cruise by doing all the expeditions and the various things like that. I see that on public television advertised. And, if one is in a place and that one has the technical know-how how to do it, I think it's going to be appealing to a lot of people who perhaps know a favorite entertainer or a favorite destination and somehow experience that virtually even when they're not out on the water.
And for the cruise line, it's more publicity, their product. They see the product and they, you know what, we weren't going to cruise this year, honey, but go ahead and call the travel agent and we're going to cruise. Yeah, that I hope I haven't cleared this with anybody at Oceania, but I don't see, turn down the volume as far as topical things that might be bothersome and stick to the, like Regis Philbin at sea, talking about what I did last night and what I'm going to do today and interview people. And for the cruise line, it can't be anything but a positive because I'm sitting, on their ship telling everybody how really good the ship is, and the cruise director will be behind me with a large hammer. So
yes.
If I don't...
And one of those electronic delay switches in case anything slips out.
Actually, a shock collar my neighbor has for their Great Dane, and she'll just hit a button. I'll never say that again.
I'd be careful. Dottie's taking notes there. She's on Amazon looking for shock collar
now. Right there. No, we already have two.
But this is a family show, so let's keep it clean, shall we?
Yeah, that's it. So, all right, I have to ask you. You know, obviously, your birthplace is in England, and the Oprah expose of Meghan and Harry. Yes, did you watch it?
Do you see my finger pointing? I know this isn't any good for radio.
Oh, yes, I see the Queen.
Oh, exactly. You have my answer there, but I will give it verbally for those who can't see this, as I say, coming through the speaker in colour. I do have an opinion, but I think as I've already come out of a three-day probationary period from the local police, it might be better if I keep the opinion to myself.
Well, Dottie has an opinion. I have an opinion. Ours are the same. And I said earlier, it comes in handy if you're a man. And the woman agrees that we feel...
Oh, that's a plus. That's a big plus. Feel, it's rare, but it's a plus.
I'm sure he thinks he's happy, but we feel bad for Harry. So
yeah. It's not so much what was said or how it was said, and one can have one's own morality about the treatment of family and what have you, but it didn't seem quite to jive with the visual of the relaxed nature and the affluence in which they're existing at the moment. And it seems a bit of a lofty place to be throwing darts, regardless of whether they're true or not. One thing that concerns me slightly is the burgeoning of this new vocabulary, which includes words like my truth. Yeah. You know, I grew up in a school where the truth was 2 + 2 = 4, and there really was never any discussion.
Yeah.
So facts are not factish, and they're not opinionitis. They're the truth. So if one has an allegation, I believe the respectful thing to do is to address it privately. And if it's not addressed privately, then one deals with it as a grown up.
And that is so classy, so elegant, and so British. In New Jersey, it's like, look, you got something to say? Say it to my face. And if I don't agree with you, I'm going to whack you, and that'll be that.
That's right.
I'm sorry, Father. I didn't realize you took the collar off. But you're right. There is a way. I didn't think there was. I just didn't think it was very good. And the poor Queen, she's 90-some-odd years old.
Her husband's
as I said,
in the hospital.
She's focused on more important things like breathing. And that's a big deal.
You know what? The more I see of her, and I've never met her personally, I would tread very carefully.
Oh yeah.
Whoever you are, you know, she may be 94, but she's the sprightliest, most with it, powerful, influential 94-year-old I ever might meet. You know,
Who will not get out of the way for her son?
So, absolutely. This is something that, I mean, we mustn't turn the whole interview into this, but this is the funny thing. I've come over here. I'm a welcome guest. So far, I'm welcome. The police tell me, but there aren't any choices in this. It's not a corporation. It's kept on referred to as the firm. That's the unofficial word for it. But there are no the rules are predestined before one comes out in the delivery room.
Sure.
There are no options. There are no opinions. There are no nothing. The Queen cannot step aside.
Yeah.
She may abdicate, which she definitely won't do as a result of what happened with her uncle. She doesn't wish to repeat that. And there is a strict set of protocols. There's how many boiled eggs you can have at breakfast, which car you ride in, who you address as how, whether you bow, handshake, speak. No. So this business is as if there were an optional menu of, well, they might do this and they might do that and the Queen might do so and so. And she won't be doing any of that. It's all laid down. If the sun comes up, A follows B and X, you know, Y follows X. So there aren't all these choices. Now, being in America, the whole commercial drive is choices. The customer is king. You can have your coffee on your head, your creamer on your shoulder, salt and your beans, whatever you like. But that isn't the way with the royal family. But there is this impression that perhaps there are choices, and
she could abdicate if she wanted to, right? No, and give it to Charles instead of waiting. Otherwise, he has to wait until he might die before her.
Absolutely. I think she has a plan in that direction.
Yeah.
Have you been watching The Crown?
I have. I think it's fantastic, but it is a drama, and one can get excited when somebody slaps somebody's wrist or pokes somebody in the eye and all the rest of it. But you know, it has outlasted a great deal of others.
I'm only on season 3, so
are you enjoying it?
I am. I am. I'm learning so much about.
But you have to be careful because, as John said,
is a drama.
So, but
still, they're basing a lot of the stories in fact, in history.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
But if half of that is true, the life that she's led and how she had to live and to rule, this really isn't. I'm not sure she's that privately devastated as the they're saying the leaks.
Absolutely
out of the,
not. No, you're very perceptive. Yeah, this is more water off a very famous duck's back. It is to be got through. It is to be managed. You know,
that's
deaths,
all.
Divorces, scandals. It's all been handled. And,
this is a woman that drives her own Jeep around the farm.
That's right.
You know, and she just shows up at the stables. You know, this is the Queen of England, and she just pulls up with her Jeep and hops out and says, you know, I say, what's up with the horses today? You know,
absolutely. And well, she drove an ambulance as a young woman, just trying to think, Air Force or Army volunteer.
Is that right?
And knows how to fix a tire. She knows how to fix a horse. So she's not quite the rarefied, delicate, medieval queen that one might be fearful of. And she's got some heft and a great deal of experience.
I really liked her. She's just a likable person anyway. Mm-hmm. And you know, I always liked both of the boys. Army guys, helicopter pilot, I mean, crazy. You know, Harry wanted to go in Afghanistan and under an assumed name so that he could go in there, and they were like, crazy, you can't do that. You know, you're destined to marry some B-actress and destroy your life. You can't do that.
Well, I heard he asked to go under the name of Tom Drake, and they said that was taken.
Well, he was a very famous actor. They wouldn't be in trouble. The real Tom Drake did pretty well. Movies with Judy Garland and all that good stuff.
That's right. Hey, Tom and Dottie, speaking of the Queen, and I may be breaking protocol here, but I actually have the live piano set up here for a tune that I've been working on to bring into the shows as soon as... Well, I'm actually going to be doing this one on Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern time. And just a quick aside, the reason it is as late as it is, apart from the fact that I don't watch SNL at the moment and presume that some of my fans might also be seeking a bit of a rest from that, I found out the other day that I have a whole slew, and when I say a slew, that's a modest way of saying more than 20,000 subscribers on YouTube. And that a huge percentage of those, 90%+, are in the Asia Pacific region.
Oh. Wow!
So I thought I would put on a show, and I back timed things and worked out what time of day would be a reasonable time of day. Contacted a couple of folks who live over there, and they said, "Well, Saturday lunchtime is when everybody's home from work. They're all around the family cooking and enjoying a meal and together time, and it's not taken up by television and other demands." So I decided to stage it then, only subsequently realizing it would be a little late for the US, but not all over the US.
No,
there's central, and then there's West Coast and that sort of thing. So
I missed your last one, and I'm determined to...
I'll make sure he's up.
No, you're going to wake me up at 5:11. Hurry up. The Velvet Piano's coming up. Hurry up. I'm looking forward to it. I am. And I didn't plan on imposing on you to perform. Today we were just going to talk about the virtual and all of the CDs that John sent me that are all wonderful. I'm playing that music all the time. But if... I'm looking at John's other studio. I don't know. He must sleep in the garage because every time he comes on, there's a different stage or a studio. I'm looking at a studio now with dual keyboards, electronic keyboards, a very, very nice recording microphone, all state of the art. And I'm more than happy to listen to anything that you would like to play.
Already? Well, I recently watched the original documentary, not the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, but the original documentary, and I was fascinated, just like with the Beatles. Their progress through their musical creativity, the group Queen, is quite amazing, and it concluded with one of their biggest hits, which, as I said, been working on arrangement. If you have just a couple of minutes, I'll play through it, and I'm going to be adding this to the show on Friday night.
Sure.
It's a bit of a triumphal tune. It has nothing to do with the political and environment surrounding the royal family or anything, but if you're okay with it, I'll just give it a little whirl.
Absolutely.
Yes,
a little whirl is all we need right now. The way the world is, a little whirl will help. So, very cool. Look at that setup.
Thank you.
beautiful.
Very nice. Wow.
Thank you very much indeed.
Beautiful,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, it's what a great sound. I can play a few chords on the piano, and I can play the drums my average, and a few chords on the guitar. But
I used to play the pedals. My grandmother had a player piano. I used to play the pedals. I wanted to learn how to play the piano. I think I took 2 lessons from my neighbor, and that was it.
It's funny, you remember that, don't you? You remember the business of the piano with your grandpa. I had exactly the same situation, and I feel literally warm all over when you say that, because when you're a kid, you're sitting at something so much bigger than yourself, and your grandparents are around you, and you're playing this machine, and it's safe, and it's wonderful, and they're going, yes, doesn't she sound great? And it's a self-belief. It's a wonderful feeling.
Have you ever seen the videos on YouTube of the gentleman that has it's not his piano. There's a piano in a train station in England. I'll have to send you the link. And it's called Yamaha 88, I think, is wherever the train station is. And people sit down and play the piano. Well, there's one particular pianist, I should know his name, who teaches ragtime and things like that. And he hangs around the piano. It looks like he hangs around because there's a lot of cameras whenever he's hanging around. Okay. And someone will sit down, and then he'll join in, and it becomes this impromptu concert, and the crowd comes around, and they all watch it, and it's really, really wonderful to watch. I'll send you the link. It's pretty cool to see.
That's great.
We're 5 minutes away from the top of the hour. I wanted to talk. I'm having a great time, by the way. I always love when you're on the show. When you go back to work, it more than likely will be a return to river cruising.
That's right.
And I'm always intrigued by that, because if I go on one, I'll have to pay for it because they don't have comedians on board. Usually you would be you're the entertainer on the ship, correct?
Well, it does. I am, yes. I'm the resident entertainer, and I do a whole pile of activities and quizzes and golf clinics and all sorts of fun stuff like that and games. But my main purpose on there is to play my shows and to entertain them, and particularly in this environment where we have the COVID protocols and who can come on the ship and who can't and all that sort of stuff. They're not going to be able to have anything like as many, if at all, of what they call a step-on act, which is somebody that comes on, does their show and gets off, or maybe even stays overnight and goes up to the next port. Yeah. So there will be a greater demand for me to do more of my thing, my different variety shows, than there perhaps have been in previous years.
Yeah.
But they still do, it's certainly dependent on where you folks are, if there is the opportunity, and if I had any influence at all, which I don't. I'd love to have had you on, because I know you'd be an absolute scream. You are, both of you would be wonderful to have as a guest, and there may be a facility to trade the beauty and the humor that you two bring to a situation for something of a discounted ride.
I have to tell you, Dottie, he can make that crap I do sound so good. It's amazing, really.
How many staff do you have, John?
So sorry?
How many staff members do you have?
It's a limited team, but there's only on the biggest vessel, there's only 190 people.
Okay.
So there's obviously a ton of folks that do all the housekeeping, all the real work, pulling the ropes and oiling the engine. But in terms of what might call
the entertainment staff, there's
probably about 12 folk on board, the cruise director, even the captain has to do his bit because it's a smaller environment. It's like a large, nice hotel.
Cool.
I wouldn't expect that many. I would expect maybe 5. That
right.
would be doing, the entertainment activities.
Yeah, I'm
primarily the one that's actually doing the entertaining, but there are guest relations folks. There's an assistant cruise director, hotel manager, restaurant managers, usually two
but
of them.
Do you have a social hostess, a fitness person?
I put on a dress for
I
that.
I knew you were going there. God, I knew you were going there.
You're worried I might be truthful, aren't you?
Right. It's all about the guest. It's all about the guest.
That's right.
And the line again, help me out, that you just left before the pandemic?
That's right. I'll be going out. I believe it's to the Mississippi first. That seems to be the area that's opening up. And I believe we have, American Cruise Lines is this particular line that does it. I think there's only them and the Delta Great Steamboat Company and a few others. But American Cruise Lines have about 15 ships, and they have another one launching this year.
Right.
And they'll be kicking off fairly soon. I think by the end of March, they have the first one or two ships easing back into service. I think Alaska is still a question mark with a positive edge to it. And then there's Florida and New England, where they'll also have vessels on the go.
They launched a ship during the pandemic, didn't they? There was a ship that was brought out during the pandemic.
That's right. Yes, they floated one, and they had a launch with everybody except passengers, unfortunately. Oh, so that was, I mean, it was ready to go, so they might as well put it in the water and sea trial it and all of that.
Have they gone with the, I know American, the steamboat did, the vaccine required? Are they going that way with the vaccination required? Have you heard?
I've yet to hear. I'm sure it'll definitely be a close-dated negative test will be required.
Yeah.
I guess folks of a certain age may have various complications, various reasons for maybe getting a vaccination or not. I've yet to hear the official line, but they put in on board a whole raft of squeaky clean protocols for everybody to, you know, stay separate and be as hygienic as they can.
Yeah, with a river cruising, it's unlike the ocean cruising. If someone is diagnosed, you can just pull off to the side and put them on a curb.
Absolutely. Or those paddle wheels at the back are very handy. You can actually launch one.
There you go. You got me again.
Well, you fed me right into it.
All right. Well, listen, we're excited about the show tomorrow. So go to your Facebook page. Then.
Absolutely.
All right.
I already shared it on mine. Okay. I shared it from your page to mine. So.
Oh, bless you. Thank you, Dottie.
You're welcome.
That's lovely. And also, you can just search for John England on YouTube, and there are a couple of promos right at the top of my video selection that gives the dates and the link. It's only a $5 click the link and you get it. And if you can't watch it at the time, or if I send you to sleep halfway through, I can always send the iCloud link to the 50-minute show the next day by email.
Yeah. 50 minutes?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, most people are just keeping it around a half an hour. That's a good 50 minutes.
We could have a late night bottle of wine.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, it's the kind of thing that we would know that on a cruise ship it's somewhere between 40 and 55 minutes. It's like just
fabulous.
Enough, but not too much. Hang around, get off while they're still applauding and that kind of thing. So there'll be about 15, 16, 17 tunes. Very little bit of chat because people don't need to hear me talk. They just like to hear the music. That's the most important thing.
I love that accent and. Certainly the talent is amazing. Now, ordinarily, John, I close out the show now with a song from the D-Day Darlings. I don't know if you're familiar with the D-Day Darlings, but they're a group of young ladies in England who began to sing World War II-era songs to knighted veterans. They would go to their house for birthday parties, and it grew. And they entered in America's Britain's Got Talent. Britain's Got Talent. And we're sure in the finals, but then they, I don't know if they won or not, but even Simon Cowell was blown away. And so I've started playing a song they have, We Will Meet Again.
I know the one.
Yeah. And. Perfect.
That's it.
So I was going to impose and see if you wanted to play something like that.
Absolutely. I'd be delighted to. I don't want to tread on anybody's toes, but I'll just keep playing until this moustache grows out. And then you tell me that if we've got to the end of the year.
We are at the end. I try to keep it tight this time because people don't need to know this, because I restream it. And it's easier if it stays into that
absolutely
that block. Thank you so much. Thank you for the CDs. I'll continue to play them all the time. And look forward to the show tomorrow night. And how cold is it? It's warm in the north now. It's up to 50.
Well, yeah, it's about 60 today. The sun is out. I saw it. I took a photograph just so I'd keep familiar with it.
Well,
but it's nice.
That's a British practice. When you see the sun, you go, oh, my God, there it is.
we have summer. It's on a Wednesday.
You take care. I'll see you. I'll be watching you tomorrow night, John. And thanks so much for your
Thank
time.
You.
You're very generous.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
All
Thank
right.
you both.
All the best. Cheers. Well, listen to a little John England. We'll see everybody tomorrow for your phone calls. I promise. Have a great day, everybody. I wish you could see the artistry in action.
Well, they can tomorrow watching the show.
That's right. Thank you, Donnie. Thank you. close the show out. I can listen to him all day. John England, check out his Facebook page. See you, buddy. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
I can listen to you all day. Have a great day, John. We'll see everybody tomorrow.